What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to the A Show with the Kings of Pro Wrestling Podcast. I am Acai Bowl Daddy Justin.
Wow. All right. And I'm finish the story, Meals. I don't know what to say. I am IRS victim number 3, Meals. How about that?
Oh, no, I'm IRS victim number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
You haven't, not this year. This year, I take the cake for sure. I'm so mad. I was so mad this weekend. But I'm over it.
I'm married. I don't.
Bro, let me not even get into my tax situation on the thing. But again, I was so mad. But either way, we're here. We're living. We're thriving. We're surviving. Has anything pissed you off this week? Has anything piqued your interest this week? What's going on over the last week?
Let's talk about J-Lo.
J-Lo. Okay, sure.
Hold on. Let's talk about J-Lo.
Oh, no.
New York. Y'all are the home of many excellent exports.
I agree.
Ice Spice.
Amazing.
Nicki Minaj. Cash,
2009. Nicki Minaj. Great. Cash Cobain. Sure.
Pop Smoke.
Pop Smoke still gets me upset to this day. Like, I feel like if Pop was alive, people would have already found a reason to hate him and then love him all over again.
Oh yeah, for sure. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, another one. Oh,
beautiful. Great. I love
sports,
that.
Sports. A Spider-Man, another one.
Gargoyles.
Do y'all claim J-Lo? Talk to me, Mills.
So J-Lo's a very interesting. We claim J-Lo, of course. We have to because of On the Six and stuff. But the question is, does J-Lo really claim us? That's really more the question.
She can't
stop claiming y'all.
She can't stop doing it.
It's part of her story. It's part of her narrative that she's from the Bronx, right? But it's not like, I don't feel, the Bronx part left like 25 years ago, maybe even earlier than that. So J-Lo, to me, New York City, I feel like, has a love-hate relationship with J-Lo. And it's, or really, like, not even like a, people don't really think of J-Lo. She's not even really here, to be honest with you. Like, you can ask her questions. It's very tough. Like, you ask her questions about New York things, and she's just so far removed from it. Like, another thing I never realized is how late J-Lo's career actually began.
Yeah.
Like, musical career. I was like, holy shit. She started when she was 29? What the fuck?
Yeah. I think that Jamie Foxx was the canary in the coal mine to the J-Lo thing. Do you remember I Might Need Security?
No, but go on.
I Might Need Security was, oh, you need to watch it. You got time. I Might Need Security was Jamie Foxx's first comedy special on HBO.
And it's the Brady Bunch.
It was the one where he talks about seeing J-Lo on the set of, I forget what movie they were on together. Somebody will probably correct me a little bit later, but they were on a set of a movie together, and J-Lo comes through and she acts like she doesn't know him. And he's just like, you know, I remember you on In Living Color, and it wasn't J-Lo, it was Hey Ho.
He's probably never apologized for that. Poor AOC.
Oh, absolutely.
Poor AO. Like, she's never had to apologize for that ever.
She's been put through hell, and Jamie Foxx has been allowed to thrive with this comedy special, but I feel like he was the canary in the coal mine. He really warned us about where this was going a long time ago with J-Lo. And I think what is the most disturbing part about it is that everything that he said in that comedy special came the fuck true. Like, every single,
well, what did he say? What did he say? I got to watch in full. The only clip I've seen is he's singing, like, various people singing the Brady Bunch.
he basically was just kind of like being real and just saying like, hey, like, you know, like she just, when she got famous, she actually didn't know nobody. She acted as if she was, you know, she was above a lot of people. And I get that sense from her. And so I say that to say that you already know, Mills, that her latest album isn't doing too hot.
No.
It ain't doing too great.
No.
Not at all.
Usually sequels are pretty much a red flag for me. If you do a sequel 20 years later, you're kind of like, I'm trying to grab onto something that people remember me from.
Yeah, like Pink Friday 2. Anyway.
Yeah. hey, man. You ain't wrong.
So, you know, basically, her latest album came out. I've talked about watching this on the Blackprint. Watching the movie, the Amazon movie on Blackprint.
Mm-hmm.
And that came out. And it's terrible. The movie's terrible on Prime. And the album is equally as terrible. It did 1 million streams first week, Mills. Do you know how bad the album has to be? You know how much people don't have to like give a fuck about you for your album to do that much streams?
Let me see if it even has a Wikipedia profile. It might not.
like that's how bad. If it does have a Wikipedia profile, it's because of how bad it's doing. And then she has a concert, a tour.
Damn, these niggas wrote this shit. They wrote the hell out of his Wikipedia profile.
Have you ever even thought that you wanted to see J-Lo live? Like, what does she have to offer live?
So here's the thing. J-Lo live is an experience if it's like Vegas, right? If yeah. it's going through the hits, not new hits, going through the past hit. But also she's been doing that for like the last like 15 years, to be honest with you. Ever since that song with Pitbull got popping, essentially that was like her second life. But realistically, no one has been really here for J-Lo moments over the last decade at all. Like, she'd be better off as a nostalgia artist. And I'm not saying do no Groupon tours. Maybe she should at this point, because the way this tour's selling is bad. She's had to cancel dates just outright, just whole dates. It's like, no, people aren't coming up. People aren't showing up. I've seen clips from her documentary where she was trying to get people to come to appear in this movie.
And they all said no.
He said he's busy. He's not going to. He's got a wedding that he's got to be at. And he was like, well, can't he just come after the wedding? And it's like, he said,
just capping her down. Just capping her fuck down the whole fucking time.
He said he had another wedding after that.
I can't do it, bro. I would have loved to do it, but I can't. But here's the thing. So I say that to say, I have a better outlet for J-Lo.
Okay.
You got to feel me on this. I think you're going to feel me on this. All right.
I hope so.
Villains. House of Villains. The TV show.
Reality TV J-Lo?
House
I'm
of
not Villains. Mad at it.
House of Villains TV show. Put J-Lo on that.
You've been thinking about this for a little bit. Yes. I know you've been thinking about this.
Niggas need to see the real people that don't know. They know that I'm a reality TV enjoyer. Okay? I am a reality TV enjoyer. Okay? And so I always think about things like this that are off the beaten path for people, you know. And I think that she would actually honestly excel in this role if she just showed everybody who she really was. We already know that you probably suck. We already know.
Everyone who's worked for her has not had there's a lot of people who have just been like, yeah, J-Lo was not fun to be around. J-Lo was not fun to work with. She actually shot, she shot whatever her last show that she was on. I think it was like on CBS or something, that police show. She shot it at my old job. And everyone was like, yay, but she never acknowledged anyone there. So it was like whatever, it's J-Lo. Like, at the end of the day, like, yeah, we're not, I don't know, New York, we don't really claim her like that, really. But I do agree that she needs to embrace a little bit more villainy, embrace a little bit more attitude. But also, we've got to, so the point is, the main point that she's got to get to is making people care what she's doing, period. just people have to be at least aware of these things that are going on. She filmed a whole movie, a whole documentary, and produced a whole album that's probably millions of dollars. And it sold pretty much, it went double plastic. Like a million streams is nothing. A million streams, people get that in a day. Times four. Like,
we get a million streams.
I mean, I add it up. You figure it out. Nah, this is kind of crazy. She debuted at number 38 on the book. That's worse than, that's worse than Schoolboy Q.
Bro, a legacy artist. Bro, you know, I love Korn, right? The rock band. I love them. They're like one of my favorite bands, right?
Yes.
They debuted higher than her.
Shout out to Korn.
They've been in the game for fucking 20, 30 years.
Yeah. So now it's like a point of like, where is J-Lo's actual fans? Like, what is a J-Lo fan? Realistically, what is a J-Lo? It feels like a Clippers or a Brooklyn Nets kind of deal. Like, what actually is? What is a J-Lo? Like, who? Are the Puerto Ricans? White woman?
Listen, it ain't nobody that I see on TikTok, because any algorithm I come across. Huh?
Did you see that she tried to do that challenge once?
Yes.
And no one did it?
Nobody did it.
What was the name of the song? Love Don't Cost a Thing. She tried to do that challenge and create a challenge, and literally no one did it.
Tried to do everything. You know what, man? I think that, I don't know if you're going to feel me on this. It's feeling kind of Monet-ish, but you know what? I'm going to keep going.
I don't agree, but I don't agree. It's not, we're not that far gone yet. We're not. This is still J-Lo's Mercedes just, Monet. If she's at her
mic away from me just now.
I agree. I would think if Mercedes Monet is at a J-Lo point in her career, she's definitely at what album would I say this is? I don't want to say that. She's at Rebirth.
Oh wow.
AEW is her get right.
Yeah.
Get right. You know, it's a hit. People love it, been part of the catalog, you know what I'm saying? What else is there? Because soon it's about to be the Spanish album.
Well, it's the Japanese album.
right, the only released in Japanese, you know what I'm saying? Like, deluxe tracks, only in Japan.
Oh, man, listen, man. What else happened? What else has been happening?
Shoot, New York City is kind of crazy right now. I don't know if you, I feel, but Cyrus said he's coming on his pod. Shout out to Cyrus. I want the safeness for Cyrus, because New York City is kind of crazy.
Cyrus going on a world tour. He coming to LA like the week after that.
Hey man, world tour, your girls tour. You know what I'm saying? But either way, New York City is kind of crazy. Crime is kind of like up.
What?
Is it
because of the Rimsky dance?
I think that might quell it a little bit. No, the mayor Eric Adams, as we all know, who should be like general manager of Raw, he would be the biggest heel that was ever existed.
He is the general manager of y'all city.
General manager of New York. He's him and the governor have said, like, okay, we're gonna put not police officers. Oh my god, what are those other people? Like, higher than police officers. We're gonna start putting those people in the train and at the MTA to pretty much stop people from evading fares, because people are just not paying. I don't know if we went to New York earlier this year. The thing is now, no one pays for the bus. The bus is $3, by the way. People just walk on, because the bus drivers just let them, because it's not part of their job to fight people. No one pays for the bus. People are hopping things. It costs too much to ride the train. It costs too much to do anything in the city. So I completely get it. So now they're implementing more people in the train system to pretty much stop crime. But that hasn't actually stopped crime at all, because someone got shot on the train last week, Thursday, and then another person got slashed on the train another week from, like, 2 days later. Like, it's been stuff on the trains for like the past week, and again, New York City, the police gets paid more. They've cut budgets to the library doesn't even open on weekends anymore. You know how crazy that is?
That's green as fuck.
You know how crazy that would be for me as a kid who all my when we did group projects, which I hated by the way as a kid. I don't know if you're a fan of group projects ever.
I'm not a group project enjoyer, no.
No, but I remember once, I remember the specific story where I went to, it was the first time going to that big library in Brooklyn. It's the one that Jay-Z had his exhibit at. My first time going there, we had this science project in sixth grade. And I bought the oat tag. And we went through the project, but this was taking so long for everyone to establish stuff, I had to go. So I said, you know what? Keep the thing. I got to go. Library closing anyway. I got to go home. So they finished everything. And then when we got to the point to present the project, they were like, no, you're not getting credit because you didn't help out with any of the things. And I was like, I bought the oat tag. Give me my shit back if you guys don't do this stuff. So I stood there while they were doing the presentation and they tried not to give me credit, but I pretty much bullied my way in there. But yeah, to think that the libraries can't be gone on the weekends because we need more money for cops and cops aren't even doing their own job. It's political. It's kind of crazy. Yeah,
look at us going woke.
Come on, man. I'm sure there's probably local shit going on in your city. That's
actually something really big that I'm proud of happened. And I know she doesn't listen to the show, but I got to shout out my wife, man. I think I'm gonna shout her out wife. Multiple times, but I got to shout out my wife, man. She ran a
shout out her wife.
She ran a 5K last weekend for her birthday.
Ran that's a 5K. Fire.
And I supported, you know, I came out and supported. I had to wake up really early. I think
5Ks don't start in the middle of afternoon. 5Ks start at the crack ass of.
Yeah, I got husband of the year just for that. You know what I'm saying?
You made a sign. So look at you. I saw the sign.
I had her best friend make that sign.
Oh, all right. Well, close enough.
But it was my idea. It was her execution. We were a team. But
okay. You supervise. You're the general manager of the sign.
I supervise. I was the general manager of the sign. Listen, I remember me and her, when we first started, like the first year we were dating, we went to Virginia. Mm-hmm. And first time I'd ever seen her run was like,
Have y'all been to Virginia ever since?
No, we haven't been yet.
She's like, nope. Oh, okay.
No, it doesn't matter. COVID happened. It was 2019. It was actually 2020, like January when we last went. So it was right before COVID. But well, shit, during COVID.
She was murking through the air.
The COVID Instagram with a black profile picture.
You're right. Confessions of Fire coming April 26, 1998.
So like, but we missed our flight. We were trying to get to another flight, and like, I'm running to the flight, and she's like way behind me, and she's just like, I can't do it. So I had to go back and like push her. Like, no, we can't do this shit. You can't do it. You can do it. So like, that was like my frame of reference of her actually running or doing anything like that. So like,
okay,
when she told me she was about to do that, I was just like, okay, but you got to be consistent. You feel me? Like, you have to be consistent. And she was like, I'm going to be consistent. Like, but she was like, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to make sure I do it. And one thing I know about her, my wonderful wife, is that she's going to do what she says she's going to do. And she went out there. She ran the 5K in 45 minutes, which
that's pretty good,
which is really good.
Pretty fucking good, to be honest with you.
She ran it around Dodger Stadium. So that like it was that's a huge like. Plot of land. Over 8,500 people were there, and so like there were people who did it in 19 minutes. There were people who did it in 23 minutes. There were people who did it in 30. But like for somebody who
I hate those people, by the way. Oh my god!
But for somebody who had
don't run a 5K, then the fuck is wrong with you? you finish it in 23 minutes. Go run something else. Go run a 10K.
People that were running the marathon the day after, so because the marathon was the day after, and that was
right.
So she did it in 45 minutes, and I've never been, you know, more proud to see that. And I was like, to me, I was watching like an NBA game. I'm like, when's she gonna come down the hill so I can see her? And It was great, man. So shout out to my wife, man. That was a really awesome thing I got to see.
What do we have to do to get you to run a 5K? How many Patreon subscribers do we need to get?
200,000. I don't think it. Listen. I'll do it without that. Like I'll start. I mean, I've started walking and I've started kind of getting my cardio and stuff up. I've been taking my dogs on walks to the park and doing little jogs with them. So I'm getting out there. She's motivating me. You know, rising tide lifts all boats. So
I love that. I love that. I miss being able to run fast. So that's very awesome to hear and very encouraging to hear. So shout out to her for running that 5K. That's crazy. Everyone who's running a 5K who has no business running a 5K, go to hell. Like, even still, just do it on your own time. I guess the marathon and stuff, but 19 minutes? Like, please, come on, man.
Yeah, yeah, it is. it was like crazy how many people were out there, and she was right there with, like, I was looking, she shared her location with me, and don't worry, we're going to get to the wrestling in a second, and I was looking at her little dot on the location thing.
She's moving.
She's moving fast. I was like, bro, what? That can't be her.
Oh my God. Nothing like that Fresh Prince episode. You remember the Fresh Prince episode where Jeffrey got in the cab and then took it like half the way there? That was fucking amazing. No, but that's awesome. That's awesome. Hope you continue to inspire people to do things like that. Maybe we'll do an A-Show 5K. Who knows, man? Listen, I don't want to say nothing, but I'll do it if y'all are willing to do it. We'll do it virtually. You know what I'm saying?
Wear the shirt, too.
We'll wear the shirt. We'll make an A-Show 5K shirt, exclusive shirt. If you run into 5K, just pay for the shirt. I'll do that shit, you know. We'll if we build this community in very different ways, you know what I'm saying, anything to get us sponsors or WWE people to continue to pick up my calls and stuff like that. So who knows. We should get to wrestling now.
Yes, let's get to the topic of the week.
Monet Watch is officially closed. It is officially done. What was that?
It was the air horn, but my mixer was low, so it was supposed to be.
There you go. Monet Watch is officially concluded. Mercedes Monet has made her official debut last week Wednesday on AEW Dynamite. It was a...
Be real. No, don't lie. Be real.
I wanted, because it's a... So here's what it is. Here's the reality of the situation, the good reality of the situation. It's a monumental female talent for AEW. They don't have one currently.
Niggas would have you believe.
They don't have one. They don't have one at all. I don't care who came there before. Ember Moons and Ruby Riots and all the other people that are like BT players and B-tier players in WWE. This is the biggest one thus far. And Paige. I guess Paige was there, but you know how Paige went. We're going to get into how Paige went because this is probably how this is going to go too. But it's the monumental talent. She has been, with no proof, but this has been the story, right? The narrative around it is that now she is the highest paid women's wrestler ever in the history of professional wrestling. So that's something to, like, maybe inspire people. Now, don't all run at once at Tony Khan, because I don't know if he's going to pay all y'all the same rate. Don't run there. Don't run. Walk. Don't run. Because I'm not sure y'all getting the same rate. But that's a big thing. And it seemed for at least 2 hours, there is an emphasis on women's professional wrestling. For 2 hours. How do we feel? How did you feel about the moment that it was of her coming out? Let's just start there. The segment itself, the moment itself, her coming out and debuting new theme song.
Theme song night. Theme song was jarring to me because it was bad. But I think that having it, they treated it like, remember when all that used to come on and the guests would like come out the car?
Don't even remind me of all that because I'm watching The Quiet on set.
That's why I brought it up. It made me go back to go watch old all that episodes. And I'm like, I got to see if there was anything coded.
It's all coded on that one, man. That was a goddamn. This is doing all types of shit. What is this? Nasty ass.
It reminded me of like an all that cold open. And I was like, all right, it's different for this, it's different for this show. There is nothing with AEW production that doesn't feel, and listen, like we've got on WWE production plenty of times on this show. I don't even think I got to preface it with that because like people know that we give them shit too.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. Like the production was different. I thought that, you know, having her come out and, you know, with the bad theme, equally strange outfit, all of that stuff.
CEO. I don't like that.
That's pretty bad. But I think the moment of her, I mean, what more can I say? The moment of her coming out, it's her hometown. Like she's going to get that huge pop. She better have gotten that huge pop. My thing is this, I can't give them love for what they better be doing, because at the end of the day, people keep saying that they're the number 2/number 1, so they better be doing this good.
I agree.
If that's what you think of them, they better be doing this type of stuff. I feel like they brought her in a little bit level less, like the pop won't CM Punk level. It won't CM Punk level.
I think they should have, right, it wasn't on CM Punk level. I do think that they should have experimented with a different way of bringing her in compared to most. I feel like we do this surprise, we do this unannounced thing, then we do the promo. And I guess that's supposed to lead to it's supposed to become a viral moment in a sense. Mm-hmm. And the moment to really not just be very, very fleeting. Like this is supposed to be a moment that exists and, you're able to tell your kids about it, and there's a point of reference to everything that goes on, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great. I think I would have liked it a little bit more. I don't know. Also, I'm not sure if I would have loved her coming in as a face.
Me too. I was literally going to say that. She needed to be a heel. Like, she needed to come in and say, of course you guys are cheering me. Look at what I've done. Look at what I like coming in with the aw shucks, y'all. Because you know why I hate the AEW always brings them in as baby faces, and why the Okada thing was just such a breath of fresh air to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Even though I don't think that he should be with those guys, because they always do this thing where they become baby faces and they slowly kind of like become a heel out of nowhere when people see that it doesn't work, because this company doesn't do really good baby faces outside of like organic ones that people have already loved, like Eddie Kingston. You know what I'm saying? Like they wanted to cheer right. that guy when he was right. a heel. They wanted to cheer him because they knew his story coming in and they knew how hard it was for him to come in. That was an organic and natural thing. Here you have another outsider coming from another company who has a huge accolade and things like that. And you know that. And the thing that's also jarring to me is that like she came in, and I don't know if we're going to talk about the financial aspect of it, but by the time she came out at 8 o'clock that day, there had been so much talk about how much money she was making. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why not play into that, into her being a heel, into her being, because now I'm like, what are you the CEO of? CEOs aren't good.
Yeah.
CEOs aren't good people all the time. You should be
what I'm saying. That's what I, and part of me is like thinking of my whole like branding marketing brain. Like if you want CEO, it kind of has to stand for something. At least the letter should stand for something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it comes off too much of like, we didn't really know what to do other than the boss. And the thing is, the boss is kind of like a term that you can kind of play with. CEO is a little bit more rigid. And also, what are you the CEO of? Like, it's just, CEO is it's a chief executive officer. Like, I guess it means you're the boss. I don't know, whatever. It's very TNA coded. But
but you're right. You're right. Like, why didn't they think of that? What does it mean? my first thing is that, like, if you're not the boss, like, but people would be like, well, what was she the boss of? And it was like, well, it was clear they made her out to be the boss of the ring. She could have been the boss of anything. Like, it's a clearly defined thing that I think AEW had a chance to further create a character out of. I think that someone who's done that, managed to do that really well over the years, is like AJ Styles reinvents himself when he comes to a company or comes back, and he's phenomenal now. You know what I'm saying? And up to a certain extent, Chris Jericho reinvents himself. What is she reinventing? Like, it is almost impossible for her to reinvent herself. And I think when that character comes out and it's the same, and now she's a babyface, it's the reason why she didn't always connect as a babyface in the E. It's because her heel character was just so good.
You know what
I mean? Her heel character was great. It felt natural. You know what I mean? And I the promo was just like the all shucks. I feel like in AEW, everyone always has to prove their fucking accolades and prove that they really like
prove that wrestling. They really love. Yeah. Prove that they really love professional wrestling.
Like, I don't give a fuck if they're either going to like you or they're going to hate you. You can't. Yeah. There's no middle ground there. So why are you doing that?
I don't really want to completely shit on her words, but it's also like it brings you into the certain moment and kind of defining her as not really a character that you can kind of invest in, but you're kind of investing in the person ultimately, right? You're investing in this person who loves professional wrestling and has loved it as a child and loves Eddie Guerrero and wants to make this women's division kind of better, but you're not investing within the character, which is ultimately what you want to be able to do so people fall in love with it. You want people to say, like, this is why, I mean, the reasons why you love Mercedes Moné, or really any character on the show, shouldn't just be because they're good. It should be some actual trait that, like, actually makes you fall in love with them a little bit. It can be a part of it's because they're good, and we know that she's good. It's a story that's old time. We know that, it's like with singers, we know that you can sing, but what else do you bring to the table? Like, yeah. What are you selling? What is an artist you're selling? What are people grabbing onto? It's the reason why Rihanna is such a big act, right? Like, Rihanna, there's so much to grab on with Rihanna, from her culturally to, like, her style to, like, so many different other things. So many that you can kind of, like, either see yourself in or things that you aspire to be. Mm-hmm. With Mercedes Moné, it's like, I love it. I love the moment. I'm ready for, like, the character to move on.
I hate the idea that we should just accept it because it is who she is. This is a different company. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's a different company. Like, you should just accept it because it just is what it is. She's great. It's just like, I don't think that she showed us, other than the fact that she, like, that if you watched her on the other company, on the other network, you know what she is. If people didn't really give a fuck about WWE for so long, why would you care? Like, she didn't do anything in ring, really. She did a run in at the end. She cut like a jolly G buddy, and I almost feel like they're trying to, like, heal up Willow. You want to get to that?
I think the Willow thing. I like the fact that there's unfinished business because it establishes a program initially, but I also feel like they haven't, like. My thing is, you're plopping her into a women's division that hasn't been worked on, which is one of my major detractors. And people will say, on paper, this is the best women's, which is not, it's not a great, I don't understand what you're arguing when you say on paper. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's not actually an argument when you say on paper. Like, yes, they're talented women. What are we actually arguing? That their talented women are better than these talented women on paper? Doesn't make any sense to me. But either way, you plopping her in a division that hasn't been, there's nothing really there. Imagine plopping in AJ Styles into a WWE that didn't have Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, and all these other people that you can have, kind of like these characters you can have with Chris Jericho's and all these other stuff like that. Like, these characters where you can kind of, like, play off of and have these amazing matches. You can't really do that with the women like that. They haven't been given the time. They haven't been given the latitude to be able to be who they want them to be. And largely it feels like they're still waiting for two major women to come back to really start doing things. And that's always been the problem.
What do you feel about them putting her in the TBS title hunt?
I'm not a fan of it. I think you need to I don't know. They do this shit with the TBS title all the time. It's like first come, first serve on the hottest thing.
They're kind of making it not a big deal no more in my eyes. Like, you're kind of making it like whoever got the other belt, it don't matter because Monet don't want it.
And she's especially, I mean, look at the optics. If she wins it, the same title, is she going to have the same run that Jade had? There, or is this the same? Are we doing a one-to-one character between Jade and is Mercedes Moné essentially replacing Jade on their roster if they give her the TBS title? Like, the thing with the TBS title is, I don't let her have a feud that is can what help develop.
What does beating Julia Hart do for her?
I don't know, because Julia Hart can't even really wrestle, to be honest with you.
Let's just be real. Like, Sasha, she's going to have to prove that Mercedes is going to have to prove that she is a ring general, so to speak. Like, there's a lot of people that need to be shown how to do this.
But not against Julia. Like, what is that? Yeah, like you said, like, what does that kind of prove? And I know we sound like we're like thinging it, but we're very critical on all these things because these things actually matter when you're introducing and developing a talent. Like,
and
I would say,
did the same thing. I don't want us to get in the weeds of like feeling like we got to defend what we're saying and why we're doing it. And I'm not saying you're doing nothing wrong, but I feel like we are critical. We were just as critical when Brian showed up, just as critical as Adam Cole when they showed up, just as critical as CM Punk. And I don't think, Mills, that we were ever wrong about any of those things when we
but
said.
I also think what they did with those people, outside of Adam Cole, was very like Adam. When Brian showed up, they immediately gave him a major moment against Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm. With CM Punk, who CM Punk was dedicated to continuing to uplift talent, they put him against probably one of the hottest rising stars in their company in Darby Allin. Those were very moves that can bring you back into the fold, but also introduce you to this new kind of show. I don't really know if Julia really does that. Julia's not really. Willow is a better thing because they do have unfinished business, but I wouldn't put her into TBS title hunt. By the way, also Willow's 7-0 this year. How is she had not got a title shot for the world title yet?
Have they brought up the rankings since back the rankings?
No. This is like the. It's like the conundrum that we have, right? We have these great moments that'll happen few and far between, because when you talk about great moments with AEW, you think of a few, mm-hmm. and they're usually people just showing up. But it's rarely things that are happening on the show. But the follow-up to those moments are incredibly, incredibly important. And having to develop and maintain a star is what makes it. They'll do this thing for like 3 weeks where someone will show up and have a great set of matches, lead it to a pay-per-view, and then it never happened again. And it's happened to like Daniel Garcia 3 times. It's happened to like Ricky Starks at least twice.
Daniel Garcia already back to just doing matches.
Yeah.
He's and just having matches.
It's Mercedes Moné has the thing that's working in her favor is I would assume she has a lot of cachet regarding to what she does in that company. Mm-hmm. Because one of the proponents of her leaving WWE was because of what she's doing. So I can't imagine she would go to another company and fall under the same fate that was going to happen here. But
it shouldn't happen. No. But we've seen what happens when this company signs a major, major talent who gets all this creative control and this sensitive of a locker room. Mm. And I feel like nobody's talking about that at all. It don't take long. It don't take long for them to start acting the ass. So I don't think she's the leader that could make them not do that. I mean, Adam Copeland isn't even that guy. What is he doing?
I don't know. He's still feeding with Christian, which is nuts to me. Can she swim with the sharks? If someone decides to cut a scathing shoot promo on her, can she swim?
No.
If someone says, are you going to walk out this company like you walked out the last one, does she have a proper response? Other than I'm the boss, I'm the CEO, and I does what I want.
We ain't never seen her go toe-to-toe like that before. Never.
Well, the debut happened. She had a segment with Rio a little bit later in the night, and then she showed up for the main event, which is Rio versus Willow, and had a moment there with Julia Hart and Sky Blue and everyone there. The ratings came back the following day. The narrative for the ratings is...
to be fair, not even the usual ball washers was trying to sugarcoat this one.
you think so? All I heard was a million people watched Mercedes Moné.
I mean, like Meltzer and them, they weren't trying to ball wash this one. They were like, this can only be seen as like a disappointment compared to everything that was going on.
Less than 800,000.
A million people who came up off of it after a Big Bang Theory also. And I, you know.
That's what people are kind of excluding from the narrative, which is crazy. But I guess a million people is a million people, right? Like, whether they came from Big Bang Theory or not, they were there. But it's excluding from the narrative what happened throughout the rest of the show, which was this very big show that they promoted called Big Business with a lot of big matches on it, including a world title match. And people just weren't interested. They didn't stick around. Less people, now that there's more on television, people are less invested than ever. So what is drawing people to AEW Dynamite? It clearly isn't Mercedes Moné, because this rating was actually worse than last week's rating. Actually, no, it wasn't. It was slightly higher, but still under 800,000.
Yeah, it was like by 10K, but it was also like under 800K. And this is a slide that Edge hasn't saved. Okada is largely, looking at those quarter hours, he is largely not saved this show at all. Like, yeesh. What are they going to do? But the thing is with Okada is I can't blame ratings there, though, Mills, because, like, ultimately, bro, ultimately, like, it's not his fault. It's, like, where they got him slotted right now. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Have you seen Brian's comments at South by Southwest? Of how they make people tune into a wrestling show.
Yeah, I saw that shit. I why are they doing South by Southwest again?
I don't know. Very little people were there, but he said if you put on great professional wrestling, people will tune in. And I'm like, that's the opposite.
I don't think that's true at all.
Yeah, you of all people should know this shit. Like, your entire career was defined by a moment, not the actual match that actually happened. But it to me, it's the lack of personnel. It's the people in charge. I mean, we've said this since we're blue in the face. AEW has a problem with producing a television show. And the thing, you know, I hate, because I've heard this description before of, like, people ask, why do you watch the show if you know you hate it? Or also, well, first of all, I don't watch the show. But then also, like, you know what you're going to get from the show. And it's like, damn if I demand more from a show that you want to be interested in. Like, damn if I demand more. Y'all are having these big discussions and tribalistic, you know, back and forths and shit like that. And damn if people want to say, like, I would watch this show if they did this, if they included more of these, if I think, or like, I don't like this show because they don't do this, or I don't do that. And people are just like, listen, this is the show where they wrestle, either get it or get lost. And it's like, fine, whatever. But your show's about to get lost too. And right. As the narrative continues to change about the show, because ratings will... People are not running towards TV unless the TV is good. And they have not, with all their hirings involved, all these people that they're paying, it's still, they haven't prioritized the storytelling in the moment.
Right.
It's going to get worse. the public perception is going to get worse, and then people are going to stop tuning in. And it happened at least twice before with two different companies in the last century.
They lost 400,000 viewers from the start to the finish of that show. They said, who is it going to be? Oh, her.
That's almost half the viewers.
Yes. They said, who is it going to be? Oh, her. And then cut the shit back off. Came back a little bit. Let me just tell you right now. What they're doing with Samoa Joe's reign, we called it transitional a couple weeks ago. I don't think we've ever been more truthy than that in our lives. Holy shit.
He's holding it for somebody. He's holding it. He's just holding it for the moment. I think that he's holding it for Wembley.
I don't think it's Swerve. I'll tell you that much. I don't think it's Swerve. No. Yeah, I can't say that it's Swerve. And I'm not trying to be mean here. I just don't think it's him. It ain't. It's not going to be him. And
it's Ospreay.
Yeah, it's got to be Ospreay, right? Or at the very least, oh my God, are they gonna do Okada?
No, it's Ospreay. It's definitely on. If they do Okada,
Okada and Joe, I feel like it's gonna be Okada Joe, Okada beats Joe, Okada beats Kenny, and then Okada, and then he loses to Will.
That'd be crazy. That'd be a crazy run.
Well, if Kenny,
I would get it. I would get it though. Like the EVPs thing, taking advantage, stealing world title. That would make sense in a sense.
Right. People want to watch it. I don't think so, but it's nasty. But I think that Okada coming in really kind of highlights the issue that I've always said about this company, and that's why people should stop trying to say that they're about to do these things they're not about to do. The way they're constructed is that it's always going to be these guys on top at all times. It's never going to be somebody new. You might be seeing Swerve get the TNT title this year, and they're going to make it look. They're going to act like it's the fucking world championship, but I think Okada pushes Swerve back to about 2026 at this point.
I mean, but that's all these new agent signings and stuff, free agent signings.
They're gonna say, well, at least it wasn't 2019. At least they didn't wait 30 years. They waited just 8.
I don't know.
Do you think now with Monet being in AEW that they have the best
women's
division? I keep seeing that.
No. I mean, it's tough. They have a very talented women's division. I'll give them that. The people who are at the top, minus a few, can go. Actually, quite a bit of theirs. I mean, some of them can't go, but the people who I look at, like the Willows and Rios and Tonys and, Sasha's and a couple other people in there, they can go, but it's not. What does this mean? They're not even defined.
On paper, it's the best.
Like, I'm more invested in what Candice LeRae is doing now than whatever happened in the main event. On Big Business.
Yeah, the Candice LeRae shit. We're gonna talk about that on Patreon. But I told you, bro, I'm fucking with it.
I'm fucking with it too. But I can't see the embarrassment of NXT's women's roster.
People exclude NXT so often, and I think that like that's really messed up because they pick and choose when they want NXT to be part of WWE. You see, right. You ever notice that they've always like. They'll be like, when it's women, it's only main roster. When it's like all the bad things, like they'll put NXT into it. Well, it's like, oh, these fucking football players and shit like that.
Right. But the women on NXT, man, like Roxanne doing amazing work. Lash Legend, after all the hate that she getting, is coming up to speed.
Amazing. Yeah.
Fucking who's that? Kiana James is my favorite. I don't know if you know this, but Kiana James is my favorite because she looks so, she's like, I could see her. She's not as technically savvy as Natty, but as someone who can be that person to like anchor a division,
she reminds me of Ivory a bit.
Yeah. Like she can go. And she makes it look good when she's doing it. Like, she's got all the right instincts in the ring, which is someone that you need on that roster. She's great, and she's helping elevate, you know, what's my girl's name?
Izzy Dame, baby, it is what it is.
Yeah.
March 1st, I speak.
She's got a lot of stuff. The Thea Hale storyline that's going on, it's like, there's no way NXT can develop these women at a much faster and more important rate than AEW does. And it can't be that the major thing behind them is, like, in AEW, they're either, like, mean or rich or nerds or like, it's not much to the story. They're not even telling stories most of the time. You know, like, I feel bad for Chris Statlander. No offense to, you know, Stoke, but, like, I feel bad for her because she's wallowing away. She came in as a big deal, beating Jade, and in record time. And how many times do we have to say this?
We called it too. We said, man, I hope they follow up on this.
How many times have we said in record time?
So in record time, bro, and they didn't. They
gave it to Julia, who's like, has a moonsault that you might win tough enough too with that moonsault, but, like, you're not really, like, how are you a whole champion in running this division? No offense. I like Julia and I like her presentation and stuff like that, but, like, she shouldn't be champion. Chris should be champion. I feel so bad for her.
Somebody said that she's better than Bianca or some shit like that. I saw her. I saw your page. Somebody said she's better than Bianca. That's wild.
I've been trying not to engage because it feels baity at this point.
Yeah.
Because even with the on paper thing, like, I didn't even really want to engage because I felt like you weren't really making a point. Like, there was no point to be made. You said on paper. What happens? These things don't happen on paper. Things are happening. Like, women's champions and all this other stuff. Things are actually happening, and you're looking at them. That argument essentially says, like, if I stripped away all the development and all the things, all the stories that all these women have, and if I strip them as much as AEW has stripped them all from these women, on paper, AEW women are better. I was like, all right, fine. Man.
I can't call it. I do like the call on Kiana James. She is great. I do think there's, like, some bright spots. I really like an AEW's roster. I mean, I think that, you know, there's some talent there that I like. I like Statlander.
She's too much of a nerd for me, though. She's got to kind of, like, get out of there.
I was literally just going to say, like, she got to get more serious. Like, the other shit's weird. Like, Willow's cool. What's the girl? Hater is great. She's injured right now.
Jamie Hater. We don't even know when she's gonna be back. That's the thing, though.
We don't even know what it is, right? Like,
we don't even know.
Yeah, I don't. Again, you know, I wish Mercedes the best in what she does. Well, I'll be looking from afar what happens, but I'll say for week one, I am minorly intrigued in what's going on. I feel like it was the most basic you can get of a debut. But how about the show, though? Like, it feels very WWE-ish, 2019-ish to me right now.
I didn't watch the full show. I tuned out after Mercedes left and then came back when Mercedes came back. So I didn't actually watch the show, which is probably why the ratings was as it was, right? It's probably. But they got a pay-per-view coming up in a month, so. Hopefully things will start kicking up.
Anything else?
In the world of wrestling? Let's see. Let me go through the dailysmark.com. How have you felt about... how did you feel about... We can talk about this on... Well, I feel like all Rock stuff we should keep to public. People care for The Rock. How did you feel about The Rock's concert on Friday?
Ass.
I thought out of all the segments if we had to rank all the segments, I feel like I'm giving this one the best one, only for that line at the end.
That's not saying much. Yeah, that's not saying much.
No, it's not. But I also like that Roman wasn't there. Like, Roman didn't have the subject. He didn't have to, like, wander in the background.
Yeah, imagine Roman in the background. It's
snapping fingers. And the tambourine is crazy. Bruh. How did you, like, he changed from face to, he, as soon as he was publicly adoring, he's like, he turned it off. He was like, nah, fuck this.
Here's the thing, is that my thing is he didn't try and stop him from cheering.
No, he didn't at all. He didn't even bother.
He didn't try and stop them, because again, it's like an ego play. Maybe it's on purpose, who knows, right? But it's like, what are we doing here, man?
I doubt it. It's gonna be the same reaction in Brooklyn. He's gonna show up and he's gonna get cheered. People in New York have wanted to see The Rock forever, and these places do want to see The Rock ultimately at the end of the day. But he ain't go out their way and call them crackheads and nothing along the lines. He didn't do anything. I feel like he had a whole bunch of lines for the city on the paper and was like, nah, screw it.
Yeah. Well, he was offbeat. Also reading from, remember when he used to memorize these? All that neat. Here's the thing why I think it's embarrassing. Cause I think if I watched this with, you know, my wife who's in the room, and she was like, what is this? And I had to explain, like, it's very hard to explain this to somebody who didn't know. And I think that it flies in the face of everyone saying that this is, quote unquote, Rock playing the hits. I'm gonna go back to that too, because people kept saying that shit the other day. Mm-hmm. And I think that, like, it was so unlike what he used to do, because he did not try to play into the fan reaction in the old ones. I had to go back and watch Hollywood Rock, and I was like, he wasn't trying to be.
No, he wasn't.
Like, he was pretty much universally kind of like not liked during that segment. Like,
no, he was entertaining as hell, but he made sure ultimately at the end of the day he wasn't liked or beloved.
And it made me concerned, right? Because it made me super concerned, because I didn't like that he was kind of big time in Cody a little bit. That was kind of corny.
Mm.
That was kind of corny. It was kind of corny. And to be fair, like, Cody, I think what. He respond. Oh yeah, did he respond? But like, I think what kind of like got me there was that, like, Rock made sure to talk about, I came up in Memphis, but didn't turn around and say, and it sucked.
Yeah, he said, I something. Came
up in Memphis, and I love it here. Huh?
The Rock has a special place in Memphis. You know, it's like,
it's something about him, like, personally, that he doesn't want to go full heel. He doesn't want to fully go into it.
Nah, so it's the lights, you know what I'm saying? It's the Hogan aspect of it.
It was
Roman Hogan was an NWO.
Yeah. He's still trying to be cool.
Yeah, Hogan at WrestleMania 18. Hogan was like, NWO was like, you want us to come out with you? And he's like, no, I gotta do this myself. I was like, oh brother.
I was just like, what are you, and then like even then, like, I just keep seeing people like ride the dick of this promo, and it's like, yeah, if you like really like the old stuff, I guess it's cool.
Right.
Like, I guess it's okay, but I think that, like, when you get down to brass tacks, like, what did it sell you on other than that final 5 minutes where he kind of did get booed, but it was he again forgetting his lines, saying Mama Reigns mad times. I'm like, like,
he got it all. How do you feel about the controversy now? Not the controversy, but superstars are now like getting this edict again. Like, you can't say anything on social media, even though The Rock is saying whatever the fuck he wants.
I think some of that true. I mean, you never know. Like, they could. I feel like it's okay to be upset about it, but I also feel like you got to kind of know it's The Rock. He's gonna say what the fuck he wants to say,
pretty much. You know, I mean? Yeah, like, I guess
The Rock, he's gonna say whatever he wants to say. But I mean, at least we got the do you feel like there's a sense of like them kind of playing with the fan reaction to this stuff, or the dirt sheet reaction? I feel like they're purposely countering a lot of this stuff with the moves they've been making.
I guess they might be. I don't know. I think it's because of one, Roman wasn't there. Roman not being there kind of allowed The Rock to really be in his element, which got him cheered in an aspect, because it didn't have to come. He didn't have to essentially fall in line. But then also, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think so at this point. I think The Rock really went out there and felt the cheers and was like, I'm going to feel this one out.
Crazy. It was like,
yeah, it was kind of.
If there was one thing I did have to say, better presentation. I do like the intro to the new theme. I thought that was a really good presentation point. The final part I had no problems with. I think as a whole, the segment just didn't hit for me.
But he's the final boss now. How do you feel about that?
Man. It's taken away from Roman. Right? Like, it's taken away from Roman for sure. That final boss stuff. It's taken away from Roman. I'm not going to lie. I think it reads very weird to me. And again, we're still running to the same issues, Mills. What is Roman's part in this? I guess we'll see on Friday, right? What Roman's like kind of final part in this is gonna be.
Yeah.
With the face to face and all that stuff.
Hopefully he ignores all of it and just decides to do whatever the fuck you just do whatever you want, man. Just do what you're supposed to do.
But you can't. I'm looking for the Roman Cody story hook here, because we haven't gotten anything. They're hyping it though. They're really hyping this Friday stuff. Like, Friday is to me must see TV.
I agree. It's
must see. Like, we got to see what they're gonna come up with here, because you haven't really heard too much, man, from the Cody and Rock stuff, or the Cody and Roman stuff. But I think Rock, the sooner this shit is over with, the better in my eyes, and that's really where I feel about it now.
One more thing before we head over to Patreon. Actually, probably two more things. Last Tuesday, Trick Williams. Is he the next star, the next WWE star in the making? Because, to be honest with you, I thought NXT was a solid show. Granted, the card was kind of like, but when Trick Williams came out, it really felt like things, like the energy, the temperature kind of like rose up to a different level.
Yeah, he's, man, it kind of like, Melo needs to get off of that show.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, this is what everyone said Melo was, right?
No. Okay.
He's got electricity to him, man. He's really got like some sort of electricity to him.
He does. Listen.
Melo colored in the lines.
It's the truth. He's got it. I think Melo, they need to stay far away from each other for as long as possible, because they can never go back to the old way.
They will. We saw that for Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano.
It ain't really like that though. Like Gargano left for mad long. I don't see that happening with either of these two guys. I feel like if Gargano never left and got called up the right way, I think we're talking about a different kind of conversation, right? Like Gargano's little 2 years off kind of hurt him, and it kind of hurt Ciampa because he didn't kind of have his Sami Zayn to kind
all of we're gonna him. Wait for Trick gonna get called up, Melo's gonna be injured at some point, he gonna come back, and they're gonna be tag team partners. It's literally, that's how the business works now.
Okay. But I think you ought to immediately make they got to make that match a no DQ match, but I think that you immediately make, when they made the match official, I'm like, that's your main event. I don't see a better main event than that for the Stand and Deliver, because I don't see Tony D losing yet, or I don't see Tony D winning the title, and I don't see him winning it in Philly.
No, but I mean, that NXT moment last week, I think Trick Williams is just, he cut a great promo on Carmelo Hayes. It was great that they didn't have Carmelo there. I thought it was great, which NXT does and WWE does a lot. They'll tie in one story. You don't have to completely make it this linear kind of thing. You can bring out a Noam Dar metaphor mm-hmm. and have him be like this little weekly obstacle for Trick Williams to get him over for the pay-per-view. So that's what they're going to do this week, is Trick Williams versus Noam Dar. But man, brother came out.
He said, this is mine.
He's cutting an electric promo. Noam Dar came out, had a whole kind of like fight thing with himself. Kiss Lash Legend.
That was fire.
This is what you want. You want someone cool, right? Like, that's what we want ultimately at the end of the day. Like, he can be great in everything, but there's something about Trick Williams that's inherently cool, and he showed it in that moment right now. Beat up all her friends and then kissed the girl and then got away with it scot-free. I mean, I don't think you can look even better than that.
Nah, and not even just looking better than that. I think that being presented, it's all about presentation, and I think they've done they've gone a long way into presenting Trick as a big deal. And I think that when you spend that time and cultivate that talent, he was very rough at first. Those first matches were not good. And I'm gonna be honest, like, I don't know if the Melo match would be as good as we probably think it is, because like, you got to remember, Trick's been working with like Dragunov. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to see how that works. You know what I mean? But I think as it is, I don't worry about him in terms of like capturing an audience. Like, they really fucking love this guy. And yeah, you can see why it's amazing.
Second thing, I just want to give a quick shout out to the new patrons. We haven't done this in a while, but shout out to everyone who's joined on our Patreon gang. This has been a while, so it's gonna be we got Jonathan, Heroic Rager, Jay Justice,
yo,
Keyshawn, Ray, I'm gonna take out last names from now on, B Trot, Kyrie, I'm assuming that's Kyrie. Correct me if I'm wrong. Haynes, shout out to my guy Haynes. Justin and Jason, welcome to Patreon gang. You will not be disappointed by what we got coming up next, because we got the Patreon exclusive recap of the shows, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure, you get a good show for free, but you get the full show for $5. You know what I'm saying? So make sure you guys subscribe, tune in, try it out. Try it out for a month. Who knows? Get what you get.
Yes, sir. And with that, that'll be the end of this week's show. Thank you guys for listening. We are 2 weeks away. Holy shit. From
Mania. The card is full. That's what I love about this. The card is ready. The card is there. Yeah. There might be one more match added. Might be.
Got it. I'm guessing that'll be Bianca. They got some shit to talk about on SmackDown, because that shit might be in the air. And we listen, prayer circle for Asuka.
Prayer circle for Asuka.
But we're going to talk about all of that on Patreon. So thank you guys for listening. Join those new patrons on our Patreon shows, because we talk about the shows. We recap Raw, SmackDown, sometimes other companies' pay-per-views and things like that. So make sure you check that out. And we'll be back next week on the A Show. Peace.